order. If you would everyone please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to ask that anybody sitting back here go out here to the audience and not be in contest.
Sort of like overflow.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fire department?
Oh, they're the fire department.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Just
okay. Okay.
Thank
okay.
You. This meeting of the Bass River Township Planning Board is being held in conformance with the Open Public Meetings Act, with a notice published in the Atlantic City Press and Beacon on December 31st, 2023, and given to the municipal clerk, posted on the bulletin board and the municipal building and the township website. The notice of the change of meeting venue was published in the Beacon, Times, Bass River, New Gretna, and the Atlantic City Press on February 24th, 2024, and given to the municipal clerk, posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building and the township website. I'm going to go over some guidelines for speaking tonight. It's our resolution 2024-7. Public comment guidelines have been established for the development hearing and including time limits and addressing remarks to the chair. Emphasis the importance of the proper decorum during the public hearing, including respectful language and no personal attacks or derogatory speech. The board has the right to stop the meeting and ask a disruptive member of the public to leave if they fail to follow the guidelines for conduct. There is going to be a 3-minute time limit for the opportunity to make public comment. There is a sign-in sheet to keep track of those who want to speak to provide their name before speaking, to avoid any confusion and chaos for those who are speaking, and to assure their comments are recorded accurately. It is on the podium. The podium is to be used to keep things organized and to ensure everyone's comment is heard. Roll call, please.
Ms. Cope. Mr. Cavaglione. Ms. Ruffo.
Here.
Ms. Spagnola. Mr. Neuweiler.
Here.
Mr. Steele.
Here.
Ms. Lois.
Here.
Mr. Allen.
Here.
Ms. Adams.
Here.
Ms. Crawley.
Here.
Thank you.
We have no resolutions for memorial device tonight. The minutes for approval from the March 6, 2024 meeting at 6 p.m. Has everyone gone over the minutes? Does anyone have any questions or additions? If not, we need a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Okay, one abstention.
Two abstentions.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Who's the other one?
Me and
Winfall. Oh, thank you.
Okay, on to the business of Maple River LLC. You're present.
Thank you. Good evening. For the record, I'm Donna Jennings from the law firm of Lorenz, Goldman & Spitzer on behalf of the applicant. Let me go right into it. As everybody is aware, the applicant is here this evening seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval variance to convert a portion of the existing school for dormitory use in connection with a private school for approximately 42 students consisting of 35 full-time and 7 daytime students on property located at 11 North Maple Avenue and identified as Block 56, Lots 36 and 37 on the township's tax maps. There'll be approximately 3 staff members. None of the students will be permitted to park vehicles on the property. The property is located in the Village Residential Zone, also referred to as the New Gretna Village Residential Area, where school uses are not permitted. Therefore, applicants' proposed renovation of the existing school to include a dormitory use is considered an expansion of a pre-existing non-conforming use, requiring a new variance of the municipal land use law. Additionally, there's an existing non-conforming side yard setback violation due to the building on existing Lot 36. Although both variances are subsumed under the grant of a D variance pursuant to a case entitled Price v. Himeji, the record will also show that the applicant is entitled to both variance approval if deemed necessary. As the record will show, the applicant satisfies both the positive and the negative criteria for the granting of the variance. Under the positive criteria, the applicant must establish special reasons for the grant of the variance. With respect to the negative criteria, the applicant must satisfy the two-prong analysis with proof that the variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good, and that the variance will not substantially impair the intended purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance. With respect to the positive criteria, it is clear that schools are deemed currently beneficial uses under state law, thereby satisfying the positive criteria as a matter of law. As the record will show, the proposed use is inherently beneficial on three grounds. One, an institution of religious learning. Two, an institution of religious practice. And three, as an institution of higher learning. Both the state statute and case law support these conclusions. That is, Section 4 of the Municipal Land Use Law specifically defines a school as an inherently beneficial use. There can be no doubt that the proposed yeshiva is a school, since it is an institution for higher education, the study and practice of the Jewish Talmud. It is analogous to a seminary or a monastery in other religious traditions. Case law also recognizes universities as inherently beneficial. In News versus Monmouth University, the court concluded there is no dispute that the university as an institution of higher learning qualifies as an inherently beneficial use. Moreover, our courts have held that a religious institution is an inherently beneficial use. Here, the record will demonstrate that the operating, teaching at, and studying at the yeshiva is a religious activity and is motivated by the yeshiva's sincerely held religious beliefs. More importantly, although Section 4 of the MLUL lists certain uses as inherently beneficial, that section acknowledges that that list is not exhaustive. In fact, that section defines an inherently beneficial use as a use which is universally considered of value to the community because it fundamentally serves the public good and promotes the general welfare. For instance, in a case called State v. Cameron, our New Jersey Supreme Court stated that religious activity itself is in furtherance of the public morals and general welfare, and that religious institutions enjoy a highly favored and protected status, which severely curtails the permissible extent of governmental regulation in this area. Here, an essential element of the yeshiva is a requirement that the students board at the school so that the student may remain isolated and focused on the academically and spiritually complex subjects. This isolation is a scholarly community as contemplated by the Talmud and is an essential element of the yeshiva's mission. Importantly, as our appellate division stated in the case entitled Medical Center at Princeton versus Princeton Township Zoning Board of Adjustment, functions which are accessory to the plaintiff's inherently beneficial core uses are included under its inherently beneficial umbrella. Thus, the ancillary boarding of students is part of the yeshiva's religious activity and is protected under the inherently beneficial umbrella. With respect to the negative criteria when dealing with an inherently beneficial use, the applicant is relieved of the enhanced burden of proof required under the Medici case. Instead, the board is to apply the SICA balancing test. First, the board should identify the public interest at stake. Second, the board should identify the detrimental effect that will ensue from the grant of the variance. Third, the board is obligated to consider imposing reasonable conditions on the use. And finally, the board should then weigh the positive and negative criteria and determine whether, on balance, the grant of the variance would cause substantial detriment to the public good. Here, the applicant satisfies the negative criteria because the proposed private school is a less intense use than the former elementary school. The record will show that the former elementary school once had an enrollment of approximately 183 students with 30 staff members, and here the applicant proposes a substantial reduction in attendance of only 42 students. As noted, the vast majority of the students, 35, will live on campus. Only one van is required to transport the 7 daytime students, as opposed to several school buses and parents dropping off and picking up kids every day. Additionally, there is a substantial reduction in staff proposed. Only 3 members consisting of 2 rabbis and 1 maintenance manager will regularly work at the school. Alternatively, and perhaps most significantly, the applicant is also entitled to relief based on the federal statute entitled the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, referred to as RLUIPA. To prevail on a RLUIPA claim, the applicant has the initial burden of demonstrating that the land use regulation actually imposes a substantial burden on religious activity. If the applicant makes such a showing, then the burden shifts to the local government to demonstrate that the challenge regulation is in furtherance of a compelling governmental interest and is the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest. Here is the yeshiva's proposed land use. Religious education constitutes religious exercise. The whole school, including the dorms, is part of the religious exercise and constitutes a religious assembly and institution, and the building is a religious structure within the meaning of RLUIPA. The statute defines religious exercise to include any exercise of religion, whether or not compelled by or central to a system of religious beliefs, and provides further that the use, building, or conversion of real property for the purpose of religious exercise shall be considered religious exercise. In a similar case involving an Orthodox Jewish religious school, a federal court in New York held that the building of a rabbinical college in which student housing would be part falls squarely within the definition of religious exercise and that the multifamily dormitories that plaintiffs sought to build were intended to facilitate religious exercise. In another federal case, the federal court found that the plaintiff used a religious conference and training facility with 250 bedrooms as part of its fulfillment mission to train and educate lay and ordained people in the Catholic faith and thus part of its religious exercise. Additionally, another federal court ruled that sleeping accommodations were essential to a plaintiff's religious fellowship and that their absence would severely limit plaintiff's religious activities. Similarly, here, the yeshiva will demonstrate that the boarding of students is an essential element of its religious exercise entitling it to protection under the federal statute of the LUPA. In support of the approval, the applicant presents the testimony of the following witness. My first witness will be Eli Black, who is the owner and the applicant, sitting to my left. We have Hootie Back, who is our site engineer, Shimon Greenbaum, the architect, and then Andrew Janu, the professional planner. And just as a matter of record keeping, I am in receipt of one report, the board engineer plan and review letter dated March 13, 2024, which we will address as we go through our witnesses. Thank you.
Okay.
You would swear if you like?
Yes.
Just raise your right hand.
Yeah, raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give tonight is true stuff you got?
I swear.
Okay. And I'm also going to swear in Mr. Little, who's our board planner and engineer. Mr. Little, do you swear or affirm the testimony you give tonight is true stuff you got?
Yes.
And your license as a planner and engineer are still in good standing?
Yes, in the state of New Jersey.
Yes, correct. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Just like, if you could, for the record, just describe your role in the project.
Project lead.
And give your last voice up so everybody can hear you.
Sure. I'm the project manager, and I'm working on this development and rolling out the PC.
Okay, and if you could describe the type of school proposed.
The yeshiva for...
We can't hear
you. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably
sorry,
better. You're natural.
Okay, so if you could just briefly describe the type of school proposed.
It's a post high school yeshiva.
I don't think that microphone's on.
Here you go, Jay. Come out.
There we go.
A post-high school yeshiva is only for male students approximately age 18 to 21 to religious studies.
And if you could describe the days and hours of operation.
Classes are Sunday to Friday, approximately 7:30 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And what kind of classes are the students studying, basically?
Talmud.
The Talmud. And do they have any secular study as well?
I don't know the Talmud.
All right, keep your voice up. Can you describe the enrollment in staffing?
35 full-time students living in dorms, 7 daytime students, and a three staff member full-time.
And who are the three staff members?
Primarily two rabbis and primarily one manager.
So there'll be somebody on staff 24 hours a day?
Correct.
It might not be three, it might be one, but that you have three total.
Rotation.
They rotate. Okay. What about security and supervision? Do you have any security cameras?
Yes.
What kind of security cameras?
A robust system that we inherited from the school in the township.
Okay. What about parking and busing? Are the students going to be driving to the school?
No.
So as a condition of this approval, the board would grant it, you would agree that no students would drive to the school. There'd be no parking on site but students, correct?
We don't want students to come and have vehicles. It's part of the purpose of having a secluded type of environment.
And what about other types of deliveries to the site? What kind of vehicles come to the site?
UPS, kind of van, those kind of things.
And what would they be bringing to the site? And the boys are living there full time, so I'm assuming you're feeding them?
Yeah, we get them. We're going to likely be able to use off site catering, delivering, these kind of things, services, home services, kind of things. You know,
so the food for the boys is basically brought in elsewhere through the UPS van?
Yeah, warm there. Okay.
And they're warm there. And what about the school? Will it be open year round?
Year round?
Yeah.
They're off around the holiday month. So we have a Jewish holiday month cycle. It kind of goes around the Jewish months, the Hebrew calendar. It roughly correlates with the English calendar, with it goes around the Passover and then around the holiday of the Tabernacles and then the summer months. But typically it's like a month around each holiday that they're off.
So there's no intention to have camp. This will just be the boys that are at the school.
Yeah, it's not the intention.
Okay. That's all the questions I really have for this back witness.
Thank you.
Does anyone from the board have any questions for Mr. Black?
I have a simple question. Bonnie Adams, when you said they're going to be catering off-site, they're going to be bringing the food in, is that daily? every day they'll be bringing food in, or are you going to be housing food there?
So I think plans are going to split. Probably breakfast items are more easily stable and easier to have breakfast items on site. A dinner for sure will be coming in daily. You want it to be fresh. Lunch, I guess, is on the menu. Thank you. Okay, at this time I would like to call up the engineer. We'll be back.
Could you spell your name? I'm sorry.
Sure. Y-E-H-U-E-A-H. Someone on again?
Just tap it a little.
There you go.
Don't be shy.
Oh, yeah, oh,
okay. Speak up.
The last name is back.
Okay, Mr. Back, if you raise your right hand, you swear or affirm the testimony you give this evening is the truth, so you got.
I did.
Okay, thank you.
If you could, Hootie, for the benefit of the board, please give your background and qualifications.
Sure. I started working with the Lawrence Engineering in 2017, which is also a startup school. It's a young book.
I graduated in August of 2021 with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. I submitted my year's experience, I passed the FE and the PE, the required tests, and received my PE license around a year ago, and since then have been testifying, of course, with Mrs. Jennings the first time, and numerous times in numerous municipalities throughout New Jersey.
And your license is valid today?
Yes.
I'd like the board to accept his qualifications as a professional engineer.
Okay. Are you a licensed professional planner?
I am not.
Okay.
I have a separate planner.
You have a separate planner?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
If you could, Hootie, just confirm the record that you've had an opportunity to go to the site and review the site plan?
Yes. The site plan has been prepared directly under my supervision, and I have walked the site right before this meeting. Just to point out, we were talking about for the dormitory, the host area, everybody's on board. Stairs in the back of the building.
Okay, just so the record's clear, could you describe what you're pointing to right now?
Yes, we'd love to. North is up, as we can see. Here's the site. Fronting the site is North Maple. We are here.
And what sheet is that? If that's the site plan set that was submitted, what sheet is that?
Yes, that is our site plan that was submitted to the board.
Thank you. All right, now if you could just describe the site more generally.
Sure. Currently on site, I think everybody knows, is a two-story elementary school building with related improvements, including parking lot, outdoor recreation areas. 1981 enrollment was 183 students with 30 staff members. Ground uses include the New Retina Volunteer Firehouse, Bass River Township Park, Municipal Building, and single-family residential homes.
And if you could discuss the existing non-conforming conditions and required variances for the record?
Yes, we are requesting a use variance to permit the expansion of pre-existing non-conforming school use. The applicant is proposing to renovate approximately 4,700 square feet of the existing school for dormitory use. That's one variance. Bulk variance relief, if necessary, from Ordinance 898 with respect to minimum side yard setback on Lot 36. 18.64 feet is proposed, where 20 feet is required. That would be right up there.
So just that small portion of one existing building?
Yes.
Is that a pre-existing condition?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you could, just describe the site access and circulation for the record.
Yeah, there's two driveways entering the site, one on the north, one on the south. We also have a good condition, we'd like to keep it as is. There will be no access proposed from what we call French's Drive. French's Lane.
And what about parking?
Parking, so the existing parking is sufficient for our use. We have the requirement that 27 or 28 spaces. We had proposed 24, but we are proposing now to restripe and we can accommodate 30 spaces.
Okay. And again, the students were not going to be permitted to drive on site, so it's really just our three staff people and then the deliveries that are going to come to the site that need a parking space, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is it your opinion that we don't need a loading area?
Correct.
And could you tell us why?
Yes, the deliveries are minimal. As we spoke about, it's just delivery vans. If they need to, they can pull up in front of the building, they can park in a parking space and unload the van. It's not high-level loading and unloading.
Okay, what about solid waste storage and handling? How's that going to be done?
The applicant is responsible for any solid waste storage and handling. Okay. And what about lighting and landscaping?
Existing lighting is to remain. Existing landscaping is to remain. There is some landscaping, a buffer on the north side of the site. Again, that is to remain.
Okay. And what about utilities and the septic system?
So the existing utilities are sufficient. We are on well and well water and septic. We have a letter from the Burlington County Health Department certifying that the proposed use, the septic can handle our proposed use. We do have a letter from the Pinelands with their criteria that we need to meet with regard to water quality, and we believe we can meet those criteria.
Okay. What about any other outside agency approvals?
The only other one I have is the board engineer's letter. We can and will comply. There's two variances we are requesting from that. One is to provide entrance curbing and concrete aprons at the site entrances. As I said, the current entrance functions well, and the design is consistent with the neighboring sites along North Maple Avenue. The second waiver is from providing curbing and sidewalk along North Maple Avenue. There currently is a sidewalk along the frontage in good condition, and there is no curbing anywhere along the frontage of North Maple up and down the road.
So you've reviewed the letter prepared by Mr. Little's office dated March 13, 2024?
I have.
And you believe you've addressed all of the concerns raised in that letter?
Yes.
Well, I'll obviously ask Mr. Little if that's correct. That's our direct testimony to the witness.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone?
Recall with the first application, there's a minor area that say that one is public water available.
I wasn't involved in that, but it's corrected now.
All right.
Sorry.
And what was the letter you had about the requirements for the 2% pollution?
The township requirement now is the 2 parts per million. The timeline goes with what the original approval was for, which is 7.3 parts per million.
The non-conforming, the previous non-conforming.
Yes, as long as we're not increasing the flow.
And you're aware the building is empty for almost 2 years.
Yes, and we haven't inspected since then.
I understand, but you know that it's not conforming. I'm not sure exactly the time, but when a property is abandoned and used, the non-conforming use like disappeared due to the use.
Well, the use wasn't abandoned in our position. We've been trying to get this approved for the school, so that's not been abandoned. That's been intent to abandon the use. There was no intent to abandon the school.
Well, I understand. I know it's sat empty for 3 or 4 years.
Right. But just because it's empty doesn't mean there's an intent to abandon it.
Oh, yeah. I understand. But it's just not, maybe I'm confused about it not being in use.
Sure.
Because those systems tend to deteriorate without use.
Yeah. Well, we know. That's why we have it inspected. And it is functional. It functions well.
All right. So I have a question. The Pinelands had some comments in their certificate of filing, and one was concerning the septic dilution standards, but also they mentioned not using the second floor of the existing building with the exception of storage. So I'm not sure what the comment is on that. But are you providing the Pinelands with septic dilution calculations to ensure that you're going to be in compliance with that condition?
They're going to require that.
They're going to require it. Okay.
Is that going to be on a schedule? Is that going to be ongoing maintenance? I mean, ongoing testing?
There is requirements for ongoing testing, and again, we'll comply with all the requirements.
Yeah. We had Viking Yachts. They ended up building a sewage treatment plant a few years ago because of their particular situation across the street. But they're monitored regularly by the state.
Yeah, it depends on the size of the system. Larger systems especially are monitored by the state. Otherwise, I think we do the inspection and submit the paperwork to them.
You went down. The school portion, the old portion of the school, they stopped using it for students some years ago. I don't actually know when. Do you plan on using that part? The two-story part you talked about is they stopped using it.
Yeah.
For students.
For the second story. That's the state.
Yeah.
Second story is the state storage.
The whole building. There were no students in that whole building.
Right. Administrative. That section's administrative.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think you indicated that you're going to provide sufficient parking so you don't require variance for the number of parking stalls, correct?
Yes. We'll just try to get there.
All right. Well, along with handicap parking, I take it, correct? Okay.
Any Anybody else? Okay, thank you.
Okay, at this time I'd like to call the architect, Simone Greenbaum.
Okay, sir, can you state your name for the record?
My name is Shimon Greenbaum.
Okay, just spell that. Sorry.
G, first name is S-H-I-M-O-N. Last name is Greenbaum, G-R-E-E-N-E-B-A-U-M.
Okay. And if you raise your right hand, swear a testimony you give tonight, the true stuff you got. Okay, perfect. I'm sorry.
If you could, just for the benefit of the board, give your background and qualifications.
Yes,
and keep your voice up.
My name is Shimon Greenbaum, as I stated before. I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey. I've been licensed in the state of New Jersey for approximately 5 years. I carry licenses in multiple states as well. I'm the managing principal of Bride Architect in New Jersey, a firm that works in multiple states that has a specific specialty in this type of school, the Yeshiva type of school, and I've testified in front of multiple boards this typology and other building typologies as well.
And your license is valid today?
My license is valid.
Would like the board to accept his qualifications as a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay, if you could, Simone, just go through the floor plan and describe how the applicant is seeking to modify the interior of the building to make it Yeshiva with the dorm for the boys. There's really a lot of technical difficulties to that. I can't help you with the light.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so we have, I'm sure many people in this room are familiar with the building. There's an existing six-story structure on the lower right of this image, which is going to remain administrative, and the second floor will remain storage. There's a large assembly space in the middle. That's all construction staying as is. There's no change of use there. There will still be a school. There are classroom areas in the front over here that are remaining classrooms. And then there's a gym / cafeteria, which would remain the gym cafeteria for the school. The area that we're talking about changing is an area that seems to be a separate structure that has been added onto the building that has had classrooms that is now going to be modified to be able to house dormitory rooms. We were able to convert the 4,700 square feet into 11 dorm rooms, varying between 3 beds and 5 bedrooms. Adequate shower facilities and adequate bathroom facilities, as well as the required means of egress through the space.
Did you say 11 dorm rooms?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure I get it accurate. Thanks.
How many showers will you be putting in?
I believe regulation is 1 per week, so we will be putting in showers based on current code requirements. So if we have 35 students on site, it would be 5 showers. I would have to double check the code, but it would be code compliant as per IBC.
That's really what we're doing.
Okay.
Is it possible to show the board the picture? We can't see it from this angle.
Should have been in your packet when you filed the application, but
We're going to mark the floor plan exhibit A1.
It's
in the packet?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's part of the application.
Okay, that's fine.
It's just a colorized copy.
That's fine.
Thank you.
It's that's the 11th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 11.
There's a lounge
there. That pink space is a lounge. It could be a slot machine, a couch, a place for, you know, for those to relax a little.
So all the blue squares are the dorm rooms.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you require updated Board of Health approval for any of these facilities as far as the food goes? Or
we're usually not involved in that process.
Okay.
That's usually operations.
All right.
But whatever regulations that you require to meet, there would be more.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Just
on that sheet, on the packet sheet, it said shows 12.
Oh, so on here it says 11. We've been working on this project. So is this more up to date?
Yes.
The latest and greatest?
No,
all right, well, this is going to be A1 then.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So on the plan, there's a yellow shaded area.
That yellow shaded area, I believe, is currently the sprinkler room. It's going to remain the sprinkler room. I believe that we're going to maintain egress through that. We're not showing that now. We didn't get through construction documents.
But that's a mechanical room.
That's a mechanical.
Not another dorm room.
It's a part mechanical.
Okay.
Does the board have any other questions?
So at this time, it's approximate 5 hours, right?
I have one other question. Are you going to have to provide fire suppression for this building?
I don't believe that we have to change anything that we currently have.
As far as it being a dormitory with people staying?
I believe that this area already had some minimal.
We had to review it together with Shimmel's office. We are going to be sprinkling this section under 13R based on the code. But if there's a limited sprinkler system right now,
the buildings are built,
expanding
more robust.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The way the buildings are built, you can actually separate them legally. And this becomes the dorm used to be a sprinkler. But Ellie was working with the sprinkler system. The sprinkler guys is for what system to use. Ellie would be compliant with the pumping that's on site.
So are there multiple wells on site or just one well?
We're going to be using a tank system.
Okay. All right.
And just for the public, the issues like showers, the stuff in the interior of the building are largely construction code requirements. This board really doesn't have jurisdiction on those types of issues. We deal with the land use. That's the construction department.
Do you anticipate having any difficulty finishing your site plan or timelines or any of that, especially if it ever got to
the timelines and site would be Mr. Beck's jurisdiction.
I deal with
IBC and ADA code and that's
in terms of your part in the building and construction.
I don't say we're saying within the existing envelope.
Very good.
There's no extensions, no expansions. This one's
in the future it's been brought to us before. We hope that maybe there'll be 149
in the future. So, again, I believe that Ms. Block testified, and I believe Ms. Johns mentioned that the inherent need for the dormitory to be part and parcel of the actual education process. So, the student body would not expand much more than what's currently approved. And if they did want to expand the current body, I believe Ms. Johns will say, as is their standard refrain, they will be back in front of you for that expansion.
You're considering an application limited to the number of students in the application. So if we were to increase that even by one, you'd have to get your permission.
It would be an amended use variance. So they're only asking for permission for the 35 boarding students, the 7 day school students are going to be bused, and the 3 staff.
Correct.
Yes.
Any other questions for this gentleman? Thank you.
Okay, this time then I'll call up Andrew.
Good
Your name, sir?
Andrew Janiw, J-A-N-I-W.
Okay, Andrew, do you swear or affirm the testimony you give tonight is the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay.
Andrew, if you could, for the benefit of the board, please give your background and qualifications.
I'm a principal and managing member of the firm of Beacon Planning and Consulting Services. We're located at 315 Highway 34 in Colts Neck, New Jersey. We're now in our 25th year. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in civil engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I am a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, as well as a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I'm currently serving as a planner for the borough of Carteret, Middlesex County, as well as Freehold Borough in Monmouth County. In 2022, I was appointed to the State Board of Professional Planners by Governor Murphy, and I'm an advisor to the New Jersey Planning officials. I testified throughout the state of New Jersey and qualified as a land use expert by the Superior Court of the state of New Jersey.
Would like the board to accept this qualification question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, Andrew, just for the benefit of the board, can you confirm that you have an opportunity to review the application and the supporting materials?
Yes, in preparation for this evening's hearing, I've reviewed the application. I've reviewed, I believe, three versions of Mr. Little's report. I've been to the site. I've reviewed your ordinances, your master plan, as well as the plans and the evolution of the plans prepared for this application.
And you have an understanding of the relief that the applicant is seeking this evening?
I do.
And if you could go through your planning analysis and indicate whether or not, in your professional opinion, the applicant has satisfied both positive and negative criteria for the granting of the request of relief.
Certainly. So the property is a through lot located here along North Maple Avenue, this next door. And it is in your NGV, New Gretna Village Zone, also known as the Village Residential District. This district permits single-family dwellings, general agricultural uses, and municipal uses. Historically, the building operated as an elementary school, and at one time was occupied by as many as 183 students and 30 staff members. The application this evening is to convert a portion of that building for dormitory use in conjunction with a private religious school use. The attendees at the school will be young men, aged, I believe, 18 to early 20s, and they will be involved in an immersive religious program, which does require on-site residency. As the school is no longer permitted use in the district, however municipal uses are, the application this evening seeks a D variance for the expansion of a pre-existing non-conforming school. For the record, there are no proposed changes to the building, to the interior of the building, to the configuration of the building. There is an existing nonconformity with respect to a side yard setback that was discussed by the site engineer, but otherwise the only modifications that are proposed is some striping to the parking lot in order to provide parking spaces, which are more than are required for this use, and everything else will happen internally within the building.
I want to interrupt you just for a bit, because you're on your analysis that it's an expansion of a nonconforming use, which is a D2 variance. It was a public school originally, and the change of use is to a private boarding school.
Yes.
Is there a distinction in the use that maybe it's a D1 use variance?
So there is no distinction in terms of its function as a school. There cannot be under RLUIPA a distinction between a public or a private school or a religious school, for that matter. A school is a school is a school.
I don't dispute that. But what about the difference between going to a daytime school operation to an education facility where there's boarding overnight? The use is spread out. It's lengthier over the course of the day.
So it is lengthier over the course of the day. However, it will operate at substantially lower intensity than it had as a public school. I believe we had indicated that at one time it housed 183 day students. And I believe Donna also, in her introductory statement, read into the record case law regarding the recognition of dormitories as an accessory to an inherently beneficial use as being something that's widely accepted within the realm of the school use.
And brushing up for this, because I know this is very much a legal issue, and I don't expect you all to know that. There's a case called Satala, where they had basically a convenience store next to a gas station on the adjoining properties, and the developer came in and said, we're going to tear it all down, and we're going to build like a Super Wawa, which has a convenience store with gas pumps. And the courts ruled that with use variance applications, all things being equal, you err on the side of the D1. I'm sort of wondering if this is along the same lines, that you're going from a public day school to a private boarding school. Is that a change of use? That you're going from one non-permitted use to another. They're similar.
Yeah, I was saying, it's not a change in use. It is still going to be an educational facility. This will have the accessory dormitory use. And it is the distinction here, I would say, to that use is this is an inherently beneficial use. I'll get into that into the qualifications.
Sure.
But I think that'll trump whether it's a D1 or a 2, because under inherently beneficial, the positive criteria is satisfied because of the nature of the use.
Understood. Okay.
So moving on, the application this evening, therefore, is to permit the renovation of a portion of the existing structure to accommodate the religious school with a 35-bed dormitory. The remainder of the structure will remain the same. The second floor will remain for the sole purpose of storage. The proposed dormitory will occupy the southwest of the building. There will be 11 rooms with 3 to 5 beds each. There will be sufficient bathing and toilet facilities for the population, as well as a lounge for the residents. And as indicated, there will be 3 staff members. There is a cafeteria associated with the building that will be used as essentially a warming kitchen. There were operations testimony this evening discussing how food deliveries will be coming. These dinners will be delivered fresh daily. There will be the storage of some non-perishable goods for breakfast and snacks and the like. That, in sum total, is the kind of the nature of the use and, if you will, the addition of the dormitory use and what changes there will be to the facility. So, as I mentioned in preparing for this evening, I did review your master plan. I did review the purposes within the municipal land use law. Looking at your most recent reexamination report, it includes the following goals. To encourage municipal guidance, the appropriate use of land within the township in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. In this case, an institution is proposed that will provide a religious education that fosters good moral behavior of citizens. We'll go on to the inherently beneficial use, but the use itself is something that promotes that very objective within your master plan. And as this board knows, a variance cannot be granted for the sole purpose of the benefit of the applicant. There has to be a public purpose. And then we turn to the municipal land use law, 355B, for those purposes. There are multiple purposes listed therein. They're listed by letter, and I believe there are 3 that are promoted by this application. The first is listed as A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Again, going to the morals and general welfare of the public, this is a religious institution. It will foster a religious and education process. It is intended to create goodwill amongst the community, and I believe we are absolutely on point with that. G is to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses in open space, public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. In this case, we have an existing school building that is going to be reused. The use was never abandoned, so it's reopening as a educational facility. It will include a dormitory facility. And with respect to their environmental requirements, there was testimony requiring the supervision of Pinelands, as well as all the relative pollution modeling for the septic system here. This facility will have to comply with all the correct regulations in order to do that. And to that extent, it intends to, and in some instances, may be limited by such regulations. But it will meet environmental requirements for the site. And finally, M is to encourage the coordination of various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and for more efficient use of land. And this, I think, we're absolutely on point. We have an existing facility that's an easy conversion to dormitories and has classrooms, assembly space, kitchen space, all the necessary elements for the school to operate. It operated as a school. It will continue to be an educational facility, albeit private. And it is on point with respect to the purpose of looking and shaping land development for an efficient use of structures that are already there. Infrastructure building, this is an efficient use of land.
You're saying this is an adaptive reuse of sorts?
I wouldn't say it's an adaptive use. I mean, in terms of the only thing we're doing is we're taking a portion of it and converting classroom space to dormitory space. But that building is sprinkled, and the owner of the property testified that he has met with a sprinkler company. It can be readily adapted to an R13 sprinkler system because it was already sprinkled. It is something that is not a heavy lift to create this use. We have sufficient infrastructure on the property. The parking can accommodate the use. There's recreation facilities both inside and out in order to accommodate the students that will reside at this property. So it is an ideal fit because of the nature of the improvement, because of the prior use, and because of the configuration of the property and the building. Therefore, to qualify for the variance relief for the D variance, And again, we can distinguish between a D1 or a D2, but I think what we're looking at inherently beneficial, we have some language here that overrides. The proposed school will provide students with foundational understanding of the Jewish religion and culture for it can be considered as an inherently beneficial use. In 2009, the legislature amended NJS 4055 D4 by L2009 C146 to define inherently beneficial as follows. Inherently beneficial means a use which is universally considered of value to the community because it fundamentally serves the public good and promotes the general welfare. Such a use includes, but is not limited to, a hospital, a school, child care center, group home, or wind, solar, or photovoltaic energy facility or structure. Therefore, when we're reviewing this application, we must consider the unique nature of the use where the education is of religious nature, and such institutions are also afforded protections not only by the state in recognition of uses that are of good moral character to the community, but are also protected under the Religious Land Use and Institution Person Act of 2000, which is commonly referred to as RLUIPA. I'll discuss RLUIPA a little bit more, but I'd like to focus now on the inherently beneficial aspect of the state of New Jersey. The issue of the use is how this application meets the criteria of an inherently beneficial use. An inherently beneficial use means that it satisfies the positive criteria of the D1 or the DG criteria as a matter of law. And that's because the nature of the use is of such a universally anticipated or recognized benefit to the community that it just satisfies the general welfare morals of the public. And that is the case here. Which leads us to the concentration of, well, the negative criteria. And when we're looking at something in an inherently beneficial use, the seeker criteria is implemented in order to balance the use with the site. The seeker criteria, which was born out of the case of Sika v. Wall Township, which was a head trauma center in Wall Township, held that an applicant's burden of proof with respect to satisfying the negative inherently beneficial use is significantly less with respect to the typical non-inherently beneficial use. Instead, the Sika balancing test is employed. The board must balance the positive and negative criteria to determine whether on balance the variance can be granted without substantial impairment and intent to the purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance. The four criteria within SERP as follows. One is to identify the public interest at stake. In this case, the public interest at stake is the development of citizens with a strong sense of morals through religious education. This benefits the community at large, as well as the community within the religion itself, as creating an education facility that will promote behavior, moral behavior, and charitable behavior. Criteria number two under SECA is to identify the detrimental effects that would ensue from the grant of a variance. Now, this facility is unique in that it formerly operated as a school and greater intensity than was anticipated here. We've read it for the record, and we've had documentation that as many as 183 students attended here on a daily basis and 30 staff members. That implies a significant amount of traffic with respect to buses bringing students in, with respect to the number of staff members arriving by vehicle. This facility will operate at a significantly lower intensity. The configuration of the site is configured to accommodate an educational use, and it is readily adapted in order to convert a portion of the building for dormitory use. The site will be improved with a better organized parking lot with restriping of spaces, and perhaps the only impact would be from daily food deliveries, such as meals that will be prepared off-site and delivered for on-site consumption. These occur in vans and can be readily accommodated on the site within the parking configuration. We'll note that the bus traffic to the site will be significantly less than it was when the school operated as a public school, with seven students in by a van, not a school bus. So when we look at the detrimental effects of the building, I would say there are none. It is entirely housed within the building without any exterior reconfiguration or improvement. The students are essentially sequestered during their education periods. You heard the classroom schedule of 7:30 to 10 p.m. They are intended to be here for an immersive experience with one another. And if anyone's experienced how yeshiva students study, they essentially study in groups. They're constantly challenging each other in Talmudic studies. They are very much insulated and focused upon the studies. There isn't a lot of time for recreation and the like, and essentially that's why they're also not permitted to have vehicles. They are intended to be on-site, focused on their studies in a very intense manner. So when we look at whether we can reduce any of these detrimental impacts, I would say the only concern we would have is just the configuration of the parking, which we're in. Perhaps reconfiguration of some of the exterior amenities to be more age-appropriate. The playgrounds and such were configured for an elementary education. We'll have a young adults here at this property. There is a basketball court that's likely to be used from time to time. But clearly, the detrimental impacts of this are negligible. Finally, prong number four would be to balance the positive and negative and determine whether the grant of a variance would cause substantial detriment to the public good. As there are no substantial detriments identified, and when we're looking at the balance test, I would say that clearly the advent of this re-advent of this structure as a religious educational facility is a substantial benefit to the community without any substantial impairment to the intended purpose of the zone plan. The zone plan permits municipal uses here, and that presumably includes uses with assembly purposes. This is essentially a place of religious assembly. So when we're looking at it, it is on point with how it operated, with how it will continue to operate it, and perhaps unintentionally in your ordinance, the fact that it doesn't allow municipal uses, it will be an assembly use that will function similarly to what a municipal use may be. Therefore, it's my professional opinion that this is not a substantial detriment to the public good, nor will it impair the intent of the zone plan. And as I said, the facility formerly operated as a school will continue to operate as a school, will include a dormitory space for the immersive religious education that will be taught at this school. And at the end of the day, it is inherently beneficial and will foster the community morals and welfare. We talked about the suitability of the site in a D1, and I would pro-offer that if this wasn't recognized as inherently beneficial, this would satisfy the particular suitability test under Medici in that the configuration is like a education use on this property. The use was never abandoned. It is easily reopened through just a simple cleaning, configuration, and modernization of some internal facilities. And then as if it were a D2, we would look as to whether the use could be accommodated on the site. And again, because of the unique situation of the infrastructure and the building already being there and configured for education, this would satisfy the D criteria, whether it's adjudicated under Coventry or under Medici. And that brings us to the discussion of RLUIPA. When reviewing this application, we have to consider that the nature of the use is a continuation of the individual's development in the Jewish faith. The school fosters religious traditions and the practices of the faith and is intended to develop character through an immersive faith-based environment. Such institutions of religion and religious learning and traditions are afforded protections under the Religious Land Use and Institutional Persons Act of 2000. The school's nature is exactly such a use and is protected by federal law. RLUIPA provides that no government shall impose or implement a land use regulation that excludes religious assemblies from a jurisdiction. And that goes to the heart of we really, when we're looking at schools, we can't distinguish between public and private schools or public and religious schools. A school is a school. And regardless of whether it has religious connotations or not, this was a school. This will continue to be a school. RLUIPA also mandates that no government shall impose or implement a land use regulation in a manner which imposes a substantial burden on the religious exercise of the person, including religious assembly or institution, unless the government demonstrates that imposition of the burden on that person, assembly, or institution is a furtherance of compelling government interest and is the least restrictive means of furthering that government interest. The continuation of the religious education through early adulthood is viewed as essential in the development of a young Jewish man and has continued to Jewish faith. The outright prohibition of such an immersive experience in a structure so particularly suited would be a substantial burden as it would imply a government action intended to prohibit the accommodation of faith-based education and development of an individual. Finally, we'd have to consider that the board's intention would have to be discussed under the equal terms provision of RLUIPA. And this speaks to the government favoring non-religious assemblies over religious assemblies. The school is a pre-existing non-conforming use that included assembly and educational purposes. This use will continue, assembly educational purpose. This application will continue assembly and education with religious connotations. The district permits municipal uses here. Presumably, these include assembly. Therefore, when we're looking at equal terms, we believe that we do have the protections under the RLUIPA. This is a good application because of the particular suitability of the building, and therefore should not be restricted.
Thank you, Andrew. Does the board have any questions?
Is there a use distinction between a public school and a seminary?
A seminary is an educational facility. It is religious connotations. It includes a facility that has on-site residency. So when you're looking at schools, no, there is not.
So in regards to the students, 7:30 to 10 p.m., and then possibly any other type of activity where outsiders would be brought in, such as a religious occasion or graduation, something of that nature. How often would that happen, and does it happen on a weekly basis?
So that I would defer in terms of operational testimony.
It won't be on a weekly basis. No. Okay. Nothing significant.
Okay. And I would say over my years of experience with such facilities, it is uncommon to have outside influences coming in. Even visitation by family members is discouraged as the students are immersed in their studies. The intent here is to isolate and to concentrate.
I have a question. What university will the students be going to? You have in your packet that we're going to a university?
Well, the yeshiva is a post-high school education, similar to a university.
I'm reading in the packet. I'm a little confused.
Yeah, no, the students here are post-high school
students. That's college?
No one from the public speak until we open to the public, please. Thanks. Got
it. That's all I had to say
about it. I have another question.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is in the realm of your expertise, but just curiosity. Is there a name for the school yet?
That I would also defer.
Yeshiva is a generic term used for this type of education.
I understand the education component, but is there a name that you're going to be giving?
We haven't assigned this.
Okay.
I would guess that's probably determined by the benefactor.
And from a land use perspective, it's irrelevant.
That's correct.
Yes.
As I said, curiosity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions from the board?
This all sounds great. I agree with it. The issue I have is the actual physics of the waste septic system and gray water, whatever that kind of wastage is. I live here. I'm a newcomer to town. I've only lived here 30 years. Only 30 years. And across the street, I'm across the street. So while the school was here, there was overflow periodically from the school. We live in a world, you know, we put up with it, but the school had to bring pump trucks in and remove wastewater of this approved septic, the existing, as these got papers that it's okay, you know. But, you know, anything. Recognize that seasonal high water changes, there will be overflows. And the density, I think, it's just, even though it's approximately the same, even though it's like you're doing 24 hours instead of like 6 or 7 hours during the day for the same crop, approximately the same, but even then, with the students, we had overflow issues in other people's yards, off-site, you know, that we'd be out. Downhill this way. So I need assurances that this, the health and safety of the community. I know I have a cholera outbreak because we have a leaky septic. It happens. It's happened. Probably most people here have had to maintain because everyone here is on well septic.
I don't disagree with you. The septic system, quite frankly, will be all the factor in terms of the population here, and it has been considered with that. As you heard from the engineer, he's been in contact with Pinelands as well as the health department in order to determine what testing and operations are necessary for this facility. It has been deemed that the size of this system is appropriate for the population that's proposed here, and there will be inspections and ongoing testing in order to ensure that. Having said that, it's not a perfect world, but it meets all the regulatory criteria and will continue to have that scrutiny.
I was told I would like to have some assurances written into any resolution we may make tonight.
Well,
yeah, so
would you agree
that happened, you
that the approval is subject to all other outside agency approvals, and the septic system is a...
And that, you know, the engineer is, you know, we just lightly covered that. Really, that's the physics of the small lot in this rural neighborhood. You call it as it is, you know, is pretty organic in terms of wastewater.
Would you be amenable to maybe an annual inspection of the septic as a condition of approval?
I don't think that would be, should be a problem. Yes.
No, the suggestion is a condition of approval that they submit to annual inspections of the septic system.
And I would say at least that, especially in the, during the startup phase, that, you know, it's been dry for a long time. You get away with it. It'll be like a sponge when you first start. It's pretty easy. And then, you know, it limits your use of cleaners. You can't use Clorox for the septic system. You know, we're all aware of that, of finding our septic systems with bacteria and, you know, various organic animals, bacteria and stuff, and to maintain it. And there's a limited life. It's a very old and simple system.
And when you were quoting the 183 people, did I hear that right? That's from 1981 was when the year when it was?
Yes.
So it was over 40 years ago.
That's
when you use the high enough.
Yes.
So that's long.
I understand. But there's not, I would guess, not being a professional, but for personal use, I would guess you're going to be spending some money.
Sure. Probably.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I didn't see the actual septic location on the plan. Site plan.
You know where is that?
It's in the rear of the building. We don't know the exact limits of the leaching field, but the septic itself can be, you can determine it based on the manholes that are in the back of the building. It's mostly in this area that the tanks themselves.
This is the kind of thing that I'm not comfortable granting a go-ahead on this without knowing the details.
Again, it's under the regulations of the Pinelands. You all know they're pretty strict. I don't know if anybody deal with the Pinelands. I have.
Yeah, we have all the comments. Yeah,
they're tough.
Yeah,
they're going to be tough on us as well.
Yeah,
Bob, we do have jurisdiction over issues of septic because it really is not within the purview of this board to review this adequacy of the septic system. The applicant's agreeing to the annual inspection
right.
to address the concern that it might fail because it is an older system, but we really don't have authority to consider that on this application.
Can I make a comment, though? We do have an ordinance, 1720.190. I'm sorry, we do have an ordinance that requires inspections currently every 3 years. So I'm assuming we're asking now for it to be done every year.
Right.
Is that what we're talking about as
yes.
a condition?
Yes.
Instead of a 3-year term. Right now, the ordinance says have the facility inspected by a technician at least once every 3 years, have it cleaned every 3 years, and every 3 years submit to the Board of Health a sworn statement that the facility has been inspected functional, setting forth the name of the person who performed the inspection and cleaning and the date of such inspection. So, if
what section of the code is that?
1720.190. So now the testimony is we're going
to
do this every year.
As opposed
not
to
every 3 years.
Yeah, okay.
Just want to make sure that's on the record.
Okay.
For the safety of the community.
And that is in my review letter. That is in my review letter.
Okay. So.
Are there any other questions?
Well, I guess I have a question for our planner engineer. What's your opinion? Is this a D1 or a D2?
I think, as the expert said, I think you're in the middle. I mean, it's probably a And we've heard testimony about the inherently beneficial use.
Yeah, obviously, I think it meets inherently beneficial. So
I think
it's got the school
right.
and the religious use, which yeah. is...
So yeah. it's a combination, but I think it's been addressed by the planner.
Yeah.
I just have a clarifying question. So I'm looking at the land use application form, and it was submitted on June 30th, 23, heard on July 19th, 23. And I'm assuming, so just correct me if I'm wrong, that the application should be complete. It doesn't appear to be complete. There's a number of things that are not answered. Am I correct?
What in particular?
If you look at the land use application that's in our packet.
The formal, the actual application
the actual
itself,
form.
Right?
So there's a number of things that are not answered. Since we're on the application, I'm sure they have some sort of importance. But for this board, if it is incomplete, it would be hard for me to make a decision. One of which, where it says certificate of filing for Pine Lands application, is not answered.
We have,
no, they
we
have,
know,
we have that. We
right,
have
but we know it was.
Right.
So how many other questions have been answered?
The only thing I can say is based on my review letter, we prepared the review letter with the intent that the application was complete, could be heard by the board. And so
okay,
we did receive.
Our package, not so.
We did receive the certificate of filing. We did receive a copy of the health department letter, although that is a technically outside agency approval. But
I mean, you have to take into consideration that everything is there. Usually the checklist things are more important when you're making site changes to make sure you all the things, really for our board engineer, the right enough information to give you a thorough report. And I believe it's complete.
Yes.
But you would agree the packet that we have, because it's not complete, it would be difficult for myself to make a decision if I'm looking at something that's not complete.
I wouldn't hang your head on that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I do have one. On this rider, if it has the proposed private school is expected to serve 149 students and 25 staff members. Initially, only 38 students are expected to attend. And live on site. The school only employs 5 staff members. So if we approve it, does that mean that they have?
No, they're only asking approval for the 35 plus 7.
And that's what they're asking for tonight. If they were to make it 36 students, they would have to come back before us.
Right.
Are there any other questions from the board? Mr. Little?
Nope.
Thank you.
That's all our direct testimony.
Okay. All right, at this time we're going to open it up to the public. Again, I'm going to remind you to keep your questions brief. You only have 3 minutes. Use your words carefully.
And if you agree with someone else, we don't need to hear the same thing 3 times. It's part of the record. Just say you agree with the testimony. And the reason we have the 3-minute limitation is there's a lot of people, and a lot of people may wish to have a chance to speak publicly. So we're trying to be fair and treat everyone the same. And one thing I will compliment you that the conduct of this meeting is much better than the first one we had a couple months ago, and I thank you for that.
We signed up if you'll line up at the podium.
I make a motion to open to the public.
Thank you.
Second. Ladies first.
All in favor?
Hi, my name is Susan Dasky, and D-A-S-T-I.
Okay, Susan, do you swear for affirm the testimony you just gave to yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
My main concern is environmental, the septic being my main concern. It wasn't functioning correctly when the school was here, and yes, they did have 181 people. And you're only applying for 35, but initially it was 145. And it's a little concerning to me that there's such a fluctuation. And I'm thinking maybe that was done to benefit the board presentation. And I think that it would be difficult to monitor. I think that there's a lot of space in there that could be utilized for serving more students. And I think it would be difficult fiscally to keep things going with only 35 students and bringing your laundry out and getting everything later. I just wonder how sound the financial plan is for this. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this town that have tried to get variances through Pinelands and stuff and maybe didn't have the opportunity to fight so legally like you're able to. And I would, you know, myself included, you know, I would love to subdivide my property and get a variance and stuff like that. But it's, it would cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. And I don't should fold under that legal threatening from, not threatening, but, you know, the organization and stuff. I'm concerned that the population of your school could grow unbeknownst to everybody, even though you had promised if you're getting 36 students, you would say something. I find it hard to believe that you would be ordering food in 3 times a day for these gentlemen. And in terms of the community benefit, they're using words like isolation, immersive experience, and I'm wondering what the community benefit would be to us. What are you going to do for our community? I mean, I'm a religious person. It's not the same religion as you, but, you know, I do respect religious beliefs, and, you know, I studied religion in college also. But, so, you know, I would like to know what you're going to do to benefit our community. And I'd like some assurances that you're not going to grow your school to the size where it's going to have environmental impact on us. And, you know, maybe it grows to a size where, you know they're not parking here in the parking lot, but maybe they're parking somewhere else. So those are all my concerns for the town.
What you got, your first comment was regarding the septic and any expansion. If they come in for an amended use variance to expand it after a couple of years, and I have no idea what their plans are, I really don't, they would have to address those issues with Pinelands, again, and the County Board of Health for any expansion of the septic. If the capacity of the septic can accommodate that, that'll be addressed as an outside agency approval. They have to satisfy the.
But it might be after the fact once the damage is done and once the
septic. No, you can't. They're not allowed to expand until they get the authorization.
I mean, how are we going to know if they're expanding or not? Is someone going to go in there and do head counts? Count beds, count cots, you know, why would they send their laundry out when they can do it in the school? Why would they order food out?
I think it's like any other situation with zoning enforcement. There are matters of zoning enforcement. When there's an obvious breach and there's complaints from residents, that's how most zoning enforcement goes. We don't have zoning police. We're not looking for violations. It's only when the violations are brought to the zoning officer's attention, that's when it's investigated. And if there's a violation, they can be taken to municipal court.
And I'm curious, does pay tuition? And if so, how much is the tuition?
I don't think that's relevant. We really can't consider that.
I mean, okay.
We really can't. It has nothing to do with, this is a board of land use. We can only consider land use considerations.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Excuse me. Mel Robertson, 424 North Maple Avenue.
All right, Mel, do you swear to tell me when you give the nice truth that you got? Okay.
I'm going to give all my questions to you so you can ask them because I've got one in a minute. As far as the whether they charge the students to attend, and is this school for profit, you know, they quoted the municipal land use law, 4055B66B, no zoning ordinance governing the use of land by or for schools shall by any of its provisions or by anything stop in accordance therewith discrimination between public and private nonprofit schools of elementary or high school grade. Theirs is beyond high school, correct? So I can't see how this applies to them.
Well, Rutgers University is an inherently beneficial use. I don't think this is much different. It's a boarding school.
Okay.
Whether it's the content of the teachings is irrelevant from a land use perspective.
Okay. Can one of my children apply to that school?
I don't know.
I want you to ask them that. If it's inherently beneficial for the town, should somebody in the town be able to apply?
I think the courts have taken a more global view of religious studies and education, that in and of themselves, those types of facility or a school, they're inherently beneficial because they benefit society. It doesn't have to be just the people in Basque River. It's the people within the whole region. Okay?
Okay. Are they accredited by the state of the Department of Education?
Private
schools don't need accreditation.
No.
Okay. They do not. All right. County Board of Health, I know you can't use the board of the septic system thing, but I don't know if any of you ever sold a house with a 40-year-old septic system. You're never going to sell a house with a 40-year-old septic system. They're going to make you go with the 2 parts per million nitrate pollution thing like that. So I can't even see how they're going to do that. So they got the rooms for the students. Where do the teachers live?
Well,
I assume the teachers are there.
There's two right now. The application before us, one maintenance person.
But all the rooms are for students. Where are the rooms for the other people?
Well, they have 30 parking spaces.
They said they were going to rotate.
Right.
So you're going
their
to
time.
One at night. All
right. Right. As far as we know, there's delivery vans, maybe three people with cars, and a bus.
Okay. So the thing for the rooms for the teachers, that's off the table, I guess. What are the students going to do outside the school when they're off the rooms? What are they going to do here in Breton?
Well, they stated that most of their time is going to be developing their studies.
Right.
And that the most they would probably use would be the basketball court behind the school.
So how, again, is that inherently beneficial for New Breton?
The same as any other school.
Okay. So I'm going to say one more thing. Inherently beneficial uses means, use means a, which is universally considered a value to the community because it fundamentally saves the public good and promotes the general welfare.
Time.
Such a use.
You're going to have to.
Okay. But again, if they're basically inside the school all the time, not outside, how are they benefiting us by interacting with us and improving our?
A couple of judges in Trenton said that it's inherently beneficial,
okay.
So it is.
Okay. Thank you.
William Van Orden, 58,
sorry, your name again? I'm sorry.
William Van Orden.
I know you well, William. All right.
Well, not that well. You think you do, but you don't.
Okay.
I'm going to stress to these people.
You're under oath. I didn't hear you say yes.
I said that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm trying to get your name down. Okay.
Get my name? Okay. Yes, yeah, so
okay.
All right. So what I want to know is how is this going to benefit the community? You said several times that this benefits our community. I don't see that happening. That's one thing. The other thing is, what would you need 30 spaces for if you're only going to have X amount of students with no cars? That doesn't make any sense either.
That's the township ordinance requirement.
You have 30 spaces
yep.
for nobody there but the car.
That's the township ordinance. Otherwise, we need a parking variance.
Well, you already have parking over there, correct?
We're adding a couple spaces to meet the ordinance requirements. We don't have to ask for a variance.
Okay. So can you tell me anything positive that's going to happen for our community with you people being there historic? Because I imagine it's going to be being this religious, this close-knit, and nobody else will be allowed on premises, I imagine, right? You're not going to come outside and play basketball. I don't think kids from over here are going to be able to go over there, correct? Am I right? I mean, it's a religious thing, so it's like, you know, it's from what I'm seeing at my age, I'm seeing racist, okay? It's religion, but you wouldn't want Muslims being... I have a building 2 miles down the road here, half a mile down the road. I'm sure the same arguments you're giving this town tonight, these people here tonight, wouldn't want to hear that argument from them to build something a mile down the road here. See, then all this stuff would just go away, and it shouldn't happen for them, but it's not happening for you people. You should have bought pizza. Okay, it worked once. Okay, well, anyway, can you please tell me, how are you people going to benefit? I'm saying you people, because it is a private, click, whatever, church. I'm religious myself, but I don't preach. And this is something that's going to be stuffed into this community. I'm sure you don't pay taxes once you're over there. So I don't see any benefit that you talked about. Can you, somebody please tell me, not you people, I don't want to hear from you people, I heard. I want to hear from these people, how these people are going to benefit from that. In this school. That's all.
I think we preach friendship and peace and love, and I think the community seems like it could benefit from inclusiveness. So I think inclusiveness inherently is something that the community will greatly benefit from.
You think so? Inclusive? In a private religious sect, we're going to benefit. Christians, Muslims, Buddhists. I don't think they're going to benefit at all. I think this is just a sham. That's my opinion. I didn't really get a good answer. You're not going to be able to benefit this community.
I think any adult that's being educated in morals, law, and proper conduct is a great, great contribution.
So then anybody should be able to walk into the school to learn.
Encourage it.
So that's a good idea. You're absolutely right. Can these people go in there too? Can they send their kids over to your school?
They want. You want to send them over and pay the tuition? You want
your
kids to go to school?
So there is tuition.
There's tuition. It's a private school.
Oh, okay. So then anybody here that wants to go to that private school,
they charge tuition. It's not free. Private schools are not free.
I mean, I don't like getting, I'm getting danced around with no music tonight. I love dancing, but not with no music. And you people have to give me any music tonight, okay, or pizza. This is it. When you're over there, the doors are going to be shut. We'll have a wall around the whole place. And that's it. You're on your own.
Time.
Time what?
You're 2 to 3 minutes.
Do we have anybody else from the public? Did you have
Okay, sir, your name?
14 North
Maple
Avenue.
Regret. Wait, you swear to testify when you give thanks to truth to help you God.
I'm not testifying, but I know.
Well, in case you do. This is what I do. Okay, thank you.
First, I'd like to thank all you folks, all volunteers. And you've got a hell of a job in front of you. So thank you guys. I live right across the street, we're neighbors. I hope that the school is successful in a manner that's acceptable to everybody. With that said, my major concern is with the, can you all hear me?
No.
Sorry. my major concern, the rider that's included in the package that I read, and it alludes to what's been spoken about for the 174 additional people that could be residing at that facility. It's true that there was 180. I was here at that time. I was on the school board at that time. The school was pretty much bursting at the seams, but it was manageable. But 100% of the school was used for educational purposes. To put, if you put 38 people in that piece of it, and you multiply that by 4, I think my math was right, that takes up just about the entire school. I'm really concerned, and if you put the total population of New Gretna is 390 people according to the 2020 census, 174 people, percent increase in our population. And there's going to be no increase. It's a nonprofit, I would assume. Is that correct? Is that correct? Is it a nonprofit or is this a for-profit school? Well, that doesn't. Is it a for-profit or a nonprofit?
That's not a land use consideration. We can't get into that. We're not allowed to consider the taxation for land use purposes.
Okay, and from the
and the other part of it is
that,
they're only here for 35 students, and they would have to,
addressing the driver.
Okay.
It's 174 people. And my concern is that having the rider included in this opens the gates for a massive enlargement on a property that isn't equipped to handle students living 24 hours a day, taking showers, eating, living there. We had 180 little kids. They were 8 year old average.
So if I could make a suggestion, we could certainly submit an amended rider as a condition of the approval. So it's in writing. Plus, we have a transcript that's being transcribed. That can be part of the record. You will have it. We are only asking for the 35 students to live there and the 7 to come early. That's it. And the 3 staff. That's all we're asking for. If we were to come back in the future, why don't we have to deal with the septic? The septic's only for the students, the number of students that we have now. We would have to make major revisions to the septic to increase the number of students.
Yes, and I think.
And yes, could we do that in the future? Maybe.
I think the board should consider not having any reference to that in the rider. If you want to come back at some later date, it should not be any kind of incorporation into this. So that
it would not be in the resolution.
Excuse me?
It would not be in the resolution.
It's not going to be. The resolution's only going to reflect 35 boarding, 7 over or 7 daytime.
And it won't reference it.
It will not.
That it may grow.
It will. The resolution will reference that they're amending the rider to reflect that's all it is.
Time.
Is.
Thank you.
So it's not going to be able to be able to grow without.
They're not
going to
be able to bootstrap. You're worried about being bootstrapped.
There's going to be another document that will come in then that will replace the existing document that will address my concerns in the rider.
Yes.
And I'll get another letter so that I can have
yes.
a chance to review that.
It would be an amended. Any amended approval would require them to come before the board on 100 list, just like tonight.
Okay. I just recommend to the board that they do not open any doors to expansion. I see this plan. I think it may be feasible, pending all the regulatory things. But and additionally, with the septic and sewer, I don't want to see a sewage processing plant in a residential area. If that's what's required, that would be a major
that's
problem.
That's at a later date. That wouldn't be now.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I think the board needs to make clear that there's, you have to meet certain standards, but we're not going to put up with a sewage treatment plant in the center.
I think that's a, if they propose such thing, they could consider that on an amended application. And if that's a problem, that's something the board can consider.
Okay, next. He's time out.
No laundry facility, that wasn't addressed at all. No dining area. And
They stated that the cafeteria would be used.
They have a cafeteria.
There is a cafeteria in the school.
Not on the plan, though.
Yeah.
But
not
they,
on this plan.
They discussed
well, no,
that. They stated it.
It's called a shaded area. It exists. They're
yes,
not changing it.
They're not
no
changing
it. There's no school. There's no classroom or anything.
They're
well,
only showing on that plan what is being changed.
It's on the floor plan.
They're not showing what is staying
then, okay,
the same.
They're not required to show.
They're not
the
changing it. They're only showing us what they're changing.
Thank you for your time and letting me go past a little bit. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Next, is there anybody else?
Okay, Joshua, do you swear from testimony you have any true stuff you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Without beating a dead horse, considering I've heard everybody bring up septic and everything else, I heard the one gentleman say it's a perfect world, but it is a world, and it's not exactly perfect, so. Back to the septic issue, it's common knowledge. If a septic doesn't get utilized after a few years, that similar to the spud effect, it'll end up failing. My concern would be, back in the 80s, the water levels weren't exactly as high as they are now, which would cause for a raised septic system. Now you're talking about runoff water. Runoff's going to go into people's properties surrounding the areas, going to flood the streets. We already have issues with the streets collecting up the water and not being able to get kids on the school bus. You start mixing septic water and gray water in with our well water. They were saying that the septic system is somewhere in the back of the school. They don't know where the location is. How far is that from that well? I think the, right now for a single family home, it's like 150 feet from the building, or and then another 150 feet from their well source. And if we had to consider a raise system in for 35 students or the 50, whatever they're approving or asking for, single family home requires like a quarter acre raised bed. How big of a system are we talking, and how much of that grade level are we going to be moving now runoff?
I believe the testimony tonight is for as with the 35 students, they don't need to make any kind of improvements to the septic. It's being approved as, is it being approved as is, essentially?
All right.
And that's from the County Board of Health.
Right. The next question would be security. I myself, right out of high school, joined the military, and boys between ages of 17 and their 30s, regardless of whatever their situation is, are going to make ill choices. If there is dormitories, I love the idea of a school. I really do. I think it's great to utilize the building as it was originally. But dormitories, you got now 35 boys, young adults of that certain age. They're going to get bored inside. They don't have vehicles to go anywhere. Now they're going to be wandering the streets. Now I have to worry about what, you know, if we've seen a bus of anybody drop off 50 people on the side of Route 9 walking the streets, it's going to raise concern. Rogers, Rowan, Stockton, they all have security. Security they expect. I don't know what the age groups of these rabbis are, but we're going to talk, you know.
18 to 21.
Rabbis, 18-year-old
oh, the rabbis.
Rabbis.
It's just
students
are
18.
Students
men
are
going to take
be
care of 35 young boys.
That's so, the testimony.
Yeah, just so you understand, these are not students that are going to Rutgers and joining the frat. And they're here to study. They're studying as from 7 a.m.
Boys are
going to
be boys.
There's a private school. They will be kicked out. They have a code of conduct that they must follow. They will be removed from the school. The parents aren't sending them to that school to get sent home.
I find it hard to believe. I mean, there was the same thing. We still have security in the military, regardless of how many people are there. I also think the idea that the entire town, the public, as a member of the public, we don't like the idea of dormitories coming in. We all agree that the school being utilized, I think the beautification of the property.
Time.
That would be great.
Is there anyone else from the public?
No.
No.
We don't do that.
Not part of our resolution.
Okay, sir, your name?
David Bukia. I live 13 North Maple Avenue.
Okay, David, you swear or from testimony you get tonight is the truth stuff you got. Okay.
Basically, same concerns as everybody. There's an issue with septic. I was in Port of Ed for 12 years at that school in the early 2000s.
Can you speak louder, please?
I'm sorry. I know there's an issue with septic over there. I was on Port of Ed for 12 years in the early 2000s. I'm wrong, and we have major issues there. It was finally fixed. It found there was a problem with